You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Okay, we're in the mainframe. We've hacked into the we've bypassed the security system, and we're now within the Matrix.
I do not consent to being recorded.
Does that work?
I don't. I mean, if we're talking about an individual on the street, no. You can scare them with that, but there's nothing that if you're in a public space, you can be recorded, no matter what anybody says. You know that from producing. But and actually, all your bullshit releases are the weirdest legal ground ever, because you can depict people doing things. You can't misrepresent them. So, like, for example, this is to me interesting. Did you know that you can, all these movies that have like stand-ins for Coca-Cola or stand-ins for, you know, like whatever big brand, they could just use the brand. The only time that those companies have a legal leg to stand on is if like you showed somebody taking like a can of Coca-Cola and shoving it up their ass or something, like something that like is not what their product is supposed to do. You can get jammed up on that. But like all the effort to like edit out logos and shit is stupid. It doesn't actually, there's not a legal purpose to it. There's just like scared corporate people.
Lawyer Patrick.
Exactly. Everybody come to me for your legal advice.
Lawyer Town.
I watch TikTok.
Yeah, did you get that from a TikTok?
No, I got that from a Quora. You know, I'm a Quora boy.
We're Quora heads. What's happening in the world that we feel that is worthy of our time, of our discussion? That
your girl Tulsi broke the internet with those ass shots.
No one gives a shit.
Yeah, no one gives a shit.
Someone said Tulsi's a psyop, and I was ready to dismiss them, but it seems like the evidence is pretty strong.
Really? What's the evidence?
That she's like part of some branch of the military that does psyops or whatever.
Born in Russia.
Yeah.
Went through a honeypot training.
Right.
Emigrated to the United States under a false passport. They found wires in her house that go straight to Russia.
Wait, hang on. I got it here.
It's coincidental, though.
Since 2020, she served as a major in the Hawaii Army National Guard until her transfer to the 351st Civil Affairs Command, a California-based United States Army Reserve unit assigned to the United States Army Civil Affairs and Psychological Operations Command.
I heard she's a shooter for Oblac.
Yeah, I heard she is a sponsor for Roblox.
Yeah, I got to get my future stepson a Roblox gift card, because that's what he loves.
The 351st Civil Affairs Command, based in Mountain View, California.
Yeah, it just sounds like a part of the military they put you in where they don't want you to get hurt. It's just a fake position.
From PSYOP to Mind War, the psychology of victory. They're saying Tulsi's the PSYOP. I don't know. I mean,
but what's the PSYOP? What's the angle?
She wants to hypnotize us with her huge cans.
Okay, well, mission accomplished for a big portion of the United States, it seems like. Okay, you don't want to talk about Tulsi. I thought
we could talk about Tulsi. I don't give a shit. What, she left the? So she left the Democratic Party. It's a big
she left
whoop.
The Dems.
So did a large amount of the country.
So that's the thing, though, right? I realized that I am a hypocrite.
Oh.
Because when Tulsi leaves and people go, oh, what is this, her audition for Putin TV? You know what I mean? Then I go, oh, man, like maybe she just has an actual grievance with the party that she no longer feels any kinship to, and it was too much and she had to get the fuck out. But when AOC's ugly fat face enters my fucking screen, I go, this asshole is looking for a job on MSNBC. And like immediately those are my thoughts. So I am just I'm coming out as a right winger is basically what's happening here. So I defend Tulsi despite the fact that she might be a scammer too, but AOC, I immediately, my head, like the scammer, scammer alarm goes off.
They're all scammers. Like
they are all scammers.
They're
women,
all
you mean.
They're all scamming. Everyone's a scammer.
Women of color?
Everyone. Well, I mean,
oh, okay.
You know, especially especially women. They're the most scammy. So whatever. She left. No one cared. Everyone already hated her ass anyway. I was surprised she was still in the Democratic Party. They hate her. So,
that was actually the big news for me too. I was like, oh wow. She didn't follow the Clinton party line and fucking got socially assassinated years ago. I was surprised she was still alive.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, she's been around, but like, yeah, people wrote her off along. Yeah, Clinton, what did Hillary Clinton? She said that. What did she say? She said that she was like an agent for Russia because
she didn't want war with Syria.
She met with Assad like one time, and they were like, "Yeah, she's Russian op."
Is it beyond the pale if I suggest that she let him hit?
Who let him hit?
That Tulsi let Assad hit.
Oh, maybe. It's not outside the realm of possibility.
I think as far as world leaders go, he's right up there. He's not like a handsome man, but he's not ugly, whereas many of them are ugly.
I mean, I think Tulsi's straight up attractive.
Yeah. I guess she's got her options.
She's got the gray cheek. I think it's hot.
She does not work for me, but I certainly, as far as politicians go, she's not in the same camp as the creepy old men and decrepit moms of the fucking the normal political machines. Mm. So yeah, I guess she's got that going.
She needs a BBL is what you're saying.
BBL needs to get her body done, but everybody does. That's not a judgment. I need to get my body done, goddammit.
We are brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular ones like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailored to your schedule, customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head over to factormeals.com/worstpossible50 and use code worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code worstpossible50 at factormeals.com/worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We thank Factor for sponsoring the show. I made a list this time, but there's only two things on it.
Hit me.
We got Alex Jones.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just, I'll start with that one. All right. Let me just go a little, do my thing. Okay. I'm going to do my little thing that I do for our audience at all times.
Have you been wearing that same shirt for like a week?
So if this is just a reminder, Alex Jones, firstly, will not have to give that amount of money.
Yeah,
that's obviously not real.
Yeah, no, obviously.
That's not real. So for people that don't understand, that's not real. He's probably correct. By the way, you should put the link at the bottom. I just watched the video, saveinfowars.com.
Right, right.
Because he's doing a little fundraiser. So here's the deal. I do not know the details of this particular ruling. However, I do know that states have a cap You can't take more than a certain amount of money. So they can charge, they could say you owe $1 billion is the ridiculous thing they're doing here, but you will at the end of the day owe $10 million, of which Alex Jones can absorb. Now, he might be right that they are literally trying to run him out of business. But here's what I would like to remind people. Even if InfoWars is run out of business tomorrow, Alex Jones will walk away from his career in entertainment or conspiracy, whatever you want to call it, much wealthier than anybody you know. And you cannot invest yourself, even if you hate Alex Jones and thought the Sandy Hook thing was beyond the pale, even though I very much doubt you understand it, there's no victory for you. You're not getting any of that money. And furthermore, Alex Jones gets to still enjoy his life. Just a reminder. I would just want to be the downer, because watching 50-year-olds who are essentially apolitical shit libs in so many ways invest in the downfall of Trump and the downfall of Alex Jones, it brings me down so much. We talk about it every week, but it brings me down watching somebody like their sense of like their weak is their value as a person is contingent on somebody else's failure makes me depressed. As a person that is nonstop winning in this life, I look at that person and I go, oh shit.
So I looked up out of curiosity, Connecticut does not cap compensatory. Oh, I presume this lawsuit happening in Connecticut? That's where Sandy Hook is.
I couldn't say.
I'm presuming this is Connecticut. We can check Texas where InfoWars is based after this, but Connecticut does not cap compensatory damages, but in product liability actions, punitive damages cannot exceed 2 times the amount of compensatory damages awarded and can only be awarded if the claimant proves that the harm suffered was the result of the product sell. Oh, this is so like, I don't know if this would fall under the same thing.
If I were Alex Jones, I'd be like, I'm a product and you're saying I hurt you. It's shut up.
Yeah. Hang on. Texas. In Texas, there's no general cap on compensatory damages, but there are exceptions for medical malpractice actions. I don't think that applies. Punitive damages are capped at either 2 times the amount of compensatory damages plus the amount equal to the amount of non-economic damages found by a jury, to not exceed $750,000 or $200,000.
Sounds like a role-playing game.
Yeah, I don't listen. I don't get it. This is where if I was the one on trial, I'd have to turn to my lawyer and say, "So,
did we win?
Yeah, am I paying? Or what do I actually pay? Yeah, no. Look,
yeah. After the appeals process, what do I actually owe?
Yeah, I'm gonna zone out for a minute. You just tell me what's up after we're done here. No, I mean, look. You can think Jones is a scumbag. You can think what he said was defamation. I mean, I guess that's what the court sort of proved, right? I mean, you're stupid if you think that anyone's getting $1 billion out of this or, you know, whatever it is. But, and look, you know, not to do necessarily whataboutism or whatever, but like maybe perhaps just for perspective, I found a tweet here that says, and, you know, everyone do your own homework, fact check this, but I have no reason to doubt its authenticity. The largest fine paid by a banking executive responsible for the 2008 financial crisis was $67.5
million. Yeah, let's not link those two things that somebody had. They materially damaged many, many thousands of human beings and had to pay $67 million. And Alex Jones, apparently a court ruled that he materially damaged, probably 60 parents and has to pay $900 million. Let's not equate those two things, because then people might have to explore what the justice system actually values. They might have to think about the idea that they're trying to silence Alex Jones for real. whether you like him or you hate him, this is a get out of here thing.
How many, I don't know if there's any real way to prove one way or the other, this type of thing, but if you were to guess, I mean, the 2008 financial crisis, I mean, how many people do you think just fucking blew their brains out because of that?
Whew, I got a rough suicide to talk to you about in a minute. I mean, thousands for sure.
This one particular study says more than 10,000 suicides tied to economic crisis.
That's what I would guess. I would guess between 10 and 20.
10,000 suicides.
Yep.
Tied to an economic crisis caused by some bankers there.
People playing fast and loose with your money, essentially running a scam.
Largest fine was $67.5 million. 10,000 suicides.
The 900 versus the 900 million. Sure, sure. Let's not equate them, though. Let's not have people think about it.
No, can't be thinking about that one.
You know, somebody told me a horror story yesterday.
Listen, it's October. Let's go. Let me hear it.
No, I can't give the details because I think people know. I think people know him. But
okay,
it was a kid who was canceled and shot himself.
Jesus.
But when I say kid, I mean literal fucking kid, like a, you know, like a kid, just like an adult, but like somebody just starting their life, and. Holy fuck. What the people are really gonna not want to reckon with the past few years.
No, they never will. They never will.
Never.
Never.
Yo, speaking of which, what Warner Brothers did, we're going fast now. You see what Warner Brothers did yesterday?
They put a bullet in Cartoon Network.
Yeah. Okay, so people were upset about that, but like, you know, half of Twitter believes that they work in animation. It's the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like
Twitter believes they work in film somehow.
It's so weird. You guys, look, man, I'm technically an insider just because I've done two things for over a decade. I've made comic books for over a decade and I've played music for over a decade. So I know something about those two things. I'm not in the upper echelon of either thing. However, I'm exposed to that type of shit. And like, you look tragic when you're outside of things being hyper emotional about the outcome, when people inside of them are less phased than you are. Like those animators that just lost their gig, sucks for them. They're going to seek employment elsewhere. They're going to work on whatever their resume is and fucking build up whatever. I don't think many of them are going on Twitter and talking about this like it's like we just lost the library at Alexandria. You know what I mean? Like you can't be more emotional than the people that are hurt. Is that fair?
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, that's listen. Twitter is a weird place, man. We've been talking about it for a long time. I've been. Do you ever see like every now and then someone has like a little jokey joke? They do a little retweet from somebody from like, you know, maybe a famous person, maybe a blue check, but they'll find like a little tweet they made in like 2012 and they'll just retweet it And it's like I wish we could go back in time to when Twitter was just like
jokes.
Just watched The Hangover, real funny, LOL. That was it.
That is actually funny material when it's somebody famous posting something mundane from 2012 because nobody assumed that you had to be political or signal virtue.
Yeah,
all day, every day. So yeah, it is funny when you know it'll be. It'll be Martin Scorsese tweets cereal. You know what I mean?
It's good. Like,
it's good. Yeah, I like that. It's good. So, yeah, look, people aren't going to want to reckon with the last few years. We talked about that a lot.
LeBron James tweets, "Yo, grapes rock."
Yeah, right. It's like, yo, that's a good tweet. else I have? What else do I have for us? What else do I? I'm trying to think of what has occurred.
I would like to explore the rabbit hole that I've sort of like been falling down slash climbing through, digging through, that no one else. I haven't seen anyone really. I mean, people talk about it and they're like, "That's weird," but no one really like. Maybe I'm just a paranoid person. You know, rings of power.
Yeah.
Why?
Does it exist?
I mean, I know why it exists. It's like a very pathetic cash grab. But why? Someone needs to give me a real world explanation for why the highest budgeted television show ever made.
Was close given to $1 billion with no produced work. Is that where you're going?
Gives it to showrunners with no other credits. What's going on?
Yeah, okay. So
is that not really strange?
I mean, that's pure psyop.
Like, what is that?
Yeah, look. I believe they said J.J. Abrams advocated for them, but what's weird about that is I'm no insider, but my Hollywood friends say that J.J. Abrams is like very quickly becoming a pariah because he spends more money than he makes. Like
he
makes
bricks.
An absurd amount. That's the thing. He makes an absurd amount of money, like his ventures do. But they also overall he's pushing to the red now, and people are fed up with his ass because everybody once again. This is how that works. Harvey Weinstein had outlived his glory years, and you can then become expendable. JJ might get the little You know, I mean, the Me Too hook might come from the side stage and pull him off.
I heard he copped a feel on a Wookiee.
Yeah, well, this is the stuff that comes out later. This is like it adds up.
It adds up. It gets saved in the bank. People see it happen and they go, we're going to put that in. We're going to save that one for later.
We'll see if David O. Russell survived his trans assault allegation.
I've seen people shitting on that movie. What's it called? Amsterdam.
Yep. They're calling it. They're calling it lib bait. They're calling it like, you know, Oscar trash. It's I don't know. It looks like lib bait to me, to be frank. But the I mean, look, there's movies that exist for Oscar clout. It still matters to 80 people. As long as it matters to those 80 people, it's, you know, whatever.
I saw David, it over the weekend. I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's because, all right.
That's because you've gone full centrist. But
here's a question. Do I still have you? Did you fall? No, you're there.
I'm reflecting on his allegation. We'll get into it. Go on.
Are they shitting on it because of the allegations?
Yes.
You think?
Yes. 100%. Well, there's two reasons. Russell survived a Me Too on a trans person. That's completely fucking. You're gonna have people bringing that up until he's. There's gonna be somebody that shows up at his funeral to bring that up.
Yeah.
So, now I will confess, I read the account of the event that apparently did transpire, and he just did not say the right things because I don't know if a man is. Guilty, whatever. Like, okay. So, for people that don't know, he's accused of molesting his cousin or his brother's kid or something, right?
Like, yeah, maybe was his nephew, niece, his
niece now,
right?
Niece now. So, right. So, but okay. So, here's the deal, though. Okay. So, this is weird family shit, right? So, like, you don't know where to go with this. He says he ran into his trans niece at the gym. He admits to putting his hands under the niece's shirt to feel her new breast augmentation. I think what's less clear is if he was invited to do so.
Right.
Right.
Okay. I remember talking about this. Yeah.
So that part is a little unclear. His counter allegation, I do not think helps him really. In fact, it was one of the clumsiest boomer like replies I'd ever seen. He said, "She's just real sexual since this trans thing. She's always trying to get me to feel her up." Now, here's the thing. That's possible. I don't know. I wasn't there. But it doesn't sound good when you say, "Yeah, she's become such a seductress since she became trans." Like, I don't think that helps you in the Twitter court of law. You know what I mean?
No, so, it's not. But is it? So is it like? But is that just very boomer of him? You know what I mean?
Okay. So here's the thing, right? This is where we get into messy shit that's none of our business. There is speculation with some evidence that the niece is not 100% reliable, right? Like, how would I phrase this? I see your little smirk.
I was texting someone.
The not 100% reliable might have difficulty parsing reality from fiction. Now, this is tough in these circumstances because does that mean something didn't happen? No, doesn't mean that. You know what I mean? But does it mean that we are now left with two voices? The accuser, who is an unreliable witness to their own the event, or the accused, who is incentivized to lie if they did it. So who do you fucking believe? You know what I mean? Like, these are, this happens anytime somebody is crazy. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, oh fuck, what are you supposed to do with this? You gotta run into it. Like, I guess it happened. But at the same time, if somebody is manifestly unwell and has a hard time, they say things that aren't true with some regularity, that shit's tough. You know what I mean? So I don't know what to say about that. David O. Russell and niece, you are in my prayers.
Yeah, I mean, it's like all of these things that we've talked about since the beginning of time, since the beginning of all this shit. Every single time one of these things gets brought up, it's just like, I don't know what the reality is. Is if he did it, he's a goddamn scumbag. If he didn't, I mean, can we at least watch his movie with unbiased eyes in some way, you know?
Well, let me ask you a question. If your niece, who you knew as your nephew for 25 years or whatever, said, and I don't know that this happened, but I'm giving you a scenario. If that niece, let's name her Raven. If Raven said, "Hey, Uncle David, I finally did it. I got these cans." And he goes, "Well, let's act it out. You're Uncle David, okay? You'll be Uncle Eric. I'll be Raven."
Okay.
"Uncle Eric, I'm so glad to see you at the gym. So many people fall off after their New Year's resolution.
Not me.
Peters out." "Yeah, you're looking pretty all right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I heard your last movie did okay. I'm sorry I didn't see it. I haven't had a lot of time. I've been getting breast augmentation."
I can see that. How do you feel about it?
You know, I've felt a little bit more feminine. I feel like I fill out my clothes a little bit better. I get positive and negative attention. You know how it is.
Sure.
But yeah, overall, I'd say I really love them. Do you have any interest in feeling my naked tits?
No, I'm going to pass on that, I think.
Okay, so this is...
That's the thing, is like, even if she asked him to do it, why would you do that?
Okay, here's why. And this is for our listeners who are trans. So there's a number of you, and I don't think anything's going to border on insensitivity, but there's going to be some ignorance. Okay, so just bear with me as I'm not living the trans experience. I'm just, you know, a casual observer. Inshallah, right? As they say. So, the other day, my bandmates in the green room. Do you know this man, Aaron McFeehy?
No. Who's that?
He's one of the Jackass guys.
Oh, and Danger Aaron. Sure.
Sure. And I don't have a ton of familiarity with Jackass. I've seen the movies. I think they're fun, but I don't, you know, Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O, and Bam are the guys whose faces I can recognize. Once we go a tier down from that, I got no idea who the fuck these guys are. Right. And I think skateboarding's stupid. And the, I don't know this fella, but then when I look him up, firstly, I type in the wrong name. I type in Aaron spelled the correct way. Mm. And, I get, Aaron Aggie, who is a black professional football player. And I'm like, this guy's in the fucking green room. You know what I mean? Like that's cool. But no, it's Aaron McFeehy, who, I just watched. I know him by face because I just watched him on the Steve-O program where he talks about the fact that his whole persona is the bullied guy and how that has a psychological toll, but he also owns like 8 properties and has made a life for his family, right? So I thought an interesting guy. I didn't get to interact with him. My bandmates hung out with him for a while. At the end of the night, they'd like a photo with him because they're corny.
Sure.
And then for the photo, as the photo's being taken, he grabs their scrotums. So just 2 handfuls of scrotum, right? Mm. Now, I don't think anybody in my band is going – I think that's the experience that you want from Aaron McFeehy, right? I don't think anybody's going to be hitting him with the Me Too. But this is all to say, men – who are in a jocular state of mind will often loose with each other in a way that they would never be loose with their female friends or their female relatives. Right now, in defense of David O. Russell, if he knew somebody as his nephew for 25 years and he is adjusting to their transition into womanhood, then he might still be in a jocular state of mind. Does that read true to you potentially, or am I just projecting? Because maybe if my former nephew asked me to grab his tits, I guess I'd be like, yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, you're posing a theory, which I don't think is necessarily. I mean, I don't know if David. I don't know. I couldn't pick David or Russell out of a lineup. I don't know if he's on the same wavelength as a Jackass dude. I would recommend the Jackass dudes to perhaps, I think you're right. That's probably in most instances when you're with the Jackass guy, that's maybe what you're looking for, but I would maybe not do that. It sounds like a quick way to get in trouble.
No, that's what I want. It's like you and I've talked about it. If Morrissey was polite to us, we would be bummed.
Yeah.
It's not like he's got the reputation for being a pleasant man. So if Morrissey was pleasant to me, I'd half be disappointed. If one of the Jackass dudes didn't talk about their broken limbs, which he did, or his scrotum, which he did, and then grabbed my balls at the end of the night, I would feel let down. So I'm glad he did it.
Yeah. But I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but you also have to acknowledge that most of the world is not. I mean, I'm just nervous for his sake.
Okay, like, that's fair.
I don't want him catching a David O. Russell. You know, I wouldn't wish that upon anybody.
You don't want the wrath of the libs to come down on him.
Well, I mean, I'm lucky in the sense that I don't like touching other people, and I don't like when they touch me. Not that I would ever, you know, I would have to feel pretty violated to get on some like Me Too type. It sounds mortifying. But what I'm saying is, Yeah, I don't know. Just like if you're going for the guy's scrotum, you know, listen, he probably sized up the drug church guys and went, yeah, these guys are chill.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Good guess.
Yeah.
So here's my point. Look, I don't know that I would feel up my former nephew, now niece's breasts, right? Like, but there's a couple of things happening. When we constantly see, when we, the articles floated out there, didn't he molest his niece? David O. Russell, not right. Aaron McPhee.
Right.
So just for clarity. So let's be fair to David O. Russell, a man who's made only one movie I care about. So it's not like I'm particularly invested here, but molested your niece is the sort of thing that gets you murdered in prison.
Yeah.
Feeling your once nephew, now niece's breast augmentation on their request just gets you weird looks in the chow line. Doesn't get you murdered, right? So, like, I think that we got to be honest in the reportage of this particular incident, because maybe it's bad. I wasn't there for it. But if former niece, if niece, right? If niece says, fill up on these cans. Yes, Eric, Uncle Eric, you're probably wise to decline. But again, it's an adult. And if, you know, it's really hard to say the words, I think it might be okay to feel your niece's titties.
I think it should be hard to say.
Yeah. So let's strike this from the conversation from the record. I'm just saying that these are adults. My understanding is that it was consensual, or I believe that's his claim at the very least.
Right.
And I'm chalking something up to the fact that this would be like, this in David O. Russell's mind, this might be like tap somebody on the ball sack as you walk by them as you enter for Thanksgiving dinner. Do you know what I mean? Like you're just a jocular dude. The problem with this theory is that David O. Russell seems like a total pussy that is not a jocular dude. You know, yeah, what I mean?
I'm looking at him right now. I'm looking at his IMDb. I'm going through. So he, you know, in 1994, he directed a movie called Spanking the Monkey.
Oh yeah, classic.
I'm unfamiliar with this movie.
It was like one of the slacker core movies of that type.
It's got a great title. I mean, that'll put you on the map.
Hold on. Wait. While you're there, let's not detour too much, but go look at Ben Affleck's first movie.
Ben Affleck's first movie. Okay. I remember talking about this. I'm just looking at his movie. So I saw Amsterdam. I saw American Hustle. I remember liking American Hustle. I don't remember.
Nobody remembers it.
Like, it's such a weird memory warp. Like, why don't I remember anything about that movie?
American Hustle is the Tulsi of motion pictures. Everybody just forgot.
So wait, are you asking me about the first movie that Ben Affleck ever directed from 1993? It's a short film.
Yeah.
The title of the movie is "I Killed My Lesbian Wife, Hung Her on a Meat Hook, and Now I Have a 3-picture deal at Disney."
Yeah.
That's the title of the movie.
Yeah, I would watch.
It's a long title. I wonder how he can get it. It's only 16 minutes long. A first-time feature film director, who's also the writer-producer, is casting the lead actress. We meet him talking to his wife about the picture and the process. We meet the actress, Sandy, negotiating with her roommate and talking on the phone with her mother. Then we watch Sandy audition for the director at the callback. All right, I don't need the...
Oh, no spoilers. No spoilers.
I'm just trying to get a log line.
We might watch it.
I'm 100% down to watch it.
Maybe okay, so David O. Russell did Three Kings, which I fucking love. Let's go back for a second. This isn't the Russell cast. We got to get off. But
we got to get off Russell.
We got to get off Russell. This is just to say, there's two things that's got working against it. It is, you survived the Trans Me Too. People on Twitter are never, they never forgive. They never forget. Also, it is being pegged as a particularly Hollywood lib movie. So the spheres of Twitter and TikTok and shit consider that like Don't Look Up type of movie to be haram, right?
Now, like a, which is funny because they're all at their hearts true libs, but I get it. I mean, Don't Look Up looked like very cringe, as the kids say.
And yes, you dialed into a perfect thing. Progressives, the rubber meets the road on progressives when it impacts them directly, and at which point they all become libs, in the same way that libs all become fucking conservatives when something impacts their life, right? So yes, you are correct. There, it's a lot of phoniness on that side. But when you are young, broke, you project all of your utopian visions onto your like boomer idiot parents who you don't respect. And like, you're like, why did you life would have been perfect if you never if your generation never existed. Look at your corny ass Hollywood bullshit. I'm making short films on TikTok. Right. So like, fucking this movie Amsterdam has a lot going against it right now, at least in the social media sphere. It might still kill at awards time.
Maybe that would be very interesting. I mean, I don't think it can kill at awards time because of all of this, but maybe awards time is far enough removed. We'll see. I like I said five times now, I saw it. It didn't ring to me as lib bait. I guess I could see that. In a way, it's about like a coup. It's about something that like really happened. I'll be honest, I had a hard time following it, but I had a good time.
I like when you admit to shit like that. But the people say because of like the nature of the interracial relationship, and like they just say that it's like pure Hollywood. Like nobody missed what we're doing here. Look, everybody, look what we're doing. You know what I mean? Like, give us give us some fucking credit here.
Yeah, but that's the, I don't know. I mean, interracial relationship. I mean, that's like a look. I mean, I guess it is a period piece. So I guess the notion people would be dubious the notion of an interracial relationship in the year of 1918 when it's supposed to take place. But I'm sure they happened. I don't think that's far enough outside the realm of plausibility to say is.
No,
I understand that libs will be like, oh yes, yay, like that.
That's the problem. It's not so much. Yes, you're absolutely correct. It's a believable enough premise. It certainly did happen with some regularity, but
especially in France or wherever in Amsterdam, you know, it definitely happened.
But. Yes, the fact that it's self-congratulatory is what people probably have the issue with, right? Is that how it feels? Anyway, I don't give a fuck about any of this. It just looked like fucking Oscar bait trash to me. But
I'm sure it was. I don't think it deserves any Oscars, but I thought it was a solid enough film. I don't know. I was not mad at it.
Well, here before I forget, Warner. They downsized the Cartoon Network thing, whatever the fuck, right? And they also killed their developmental the thing where they basically it's new talent shit, right? So it's like a new talent, I don't know, guidance program, workshop shit, like, right? So they would grab Eric. They'd say, Eric, you applied. We've looked at what you've been doing. We think you have potential. You're coming under the Warner wing for, you know, 16 weeks, and we're going to show you everything we know about filmmaking. Right? Okay, so it's like one of those, right? You get it?
Sure.
So they killed it, and everybody freaked the fuck out because the last few years it's had a diversity and inclusion emphasis, right? So people are like, oh, they're getting rid of the black people, they're getting rid of the blah blah blah. 5 hours later, they announce that they got rid of it so that they could do the exclusively diversity and inclusion version, where like you're not getting any purchase on it at all if you don't meet that criteria.
Yeah.
So people had their moment of like being hostile weirdos Then they had to walk it back because they got their little fucking, somebody threw them a bone, which will probably honestly not amount to much at all. But people need to hear it. You know what I mean? Are you watching people take, look at the fans outside the window. You want to see that? Hold on.
Wait. I missed it. These fans?
These are fans. I consider them a fan. I don't consider them a peer. by the way, Boise got the freaks come out at night in Boise.
Boise's the last real that's the last real American frontier.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I think you can open carry here, and it wouldn't surprise me if you could drink on the street.
I just think if you live in a place that's affordable, you get less NPCs.
Yes. Well, you get less unthinking NPCs of the type that you run into on Twitter, but you get proper NPCs, like the type that give you quests.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, by the way, last night I had to give my ID to a Motel 6.
Oh God.
So
were you thinking about suicide?
My bandmates go, I'm thinking about suicide because I'm a grown man staying at a Motel 6 when we make a decent amount of money. It's absurd that we stay at a Motel 6. We definitely, like, there's not a lot of money in music, but people tell you that there's no money in music are incorrect. If I was 23, I'd be like, oh, pretty good. You know what I mean? But, like, it's just because I'm old that it's not enough money. But, like, these people, okay. Let me get to it. We go to a Motel 6. Two members of the band go out to check in as they always do because we get two rooms. They come back and say, hey, can we get your IDs? Now, I've never heard of this before in my life, right? They need everybody's ID? That's absurd. What is this, fucking border crossing? So I'm a little irritated. What is this about? They say, I don't know. I'll ask. Here was what the explanation given. Tell me if you believe it or not. This is from a night, like 1 a.m. night, overnight person at the fucking Motel 6 in the Dalles. All right. The Dalles is an actual place.
The Dalles.
The Dalles. It's called the D-A-L-L-E-S. I don't know how you say it. The Dalles, the Dalles, whatever. It's a place in Oregon. So go look up the median income. So,
well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
When asked, the explanation given by the hotel clerk. Yeah, I don't know. What I understand is that there was a fire at a Motel 6 and they couldn't identify the bodies. So we that was the explanation given for why they need our IDs. That's fucking crazy.
I believe it because that's so fucked up and dark that like it must have happened.
I mean, it's very Motel 6, but it's like it's not very professional to tell me that.
So we famously, or I mean, I guess you don't anymore, but whenever you're here, you're an honorary resident of the apartment. We live down the block from a Holiday, from like a, what is it, a Quality Inn? Something.
Oh, right.
And I remember when we were first moving here, I got all the info, we signed the lease and everything, and I gave the address to my folks, and my dad was looking it up, and he's like, oh, you live down the block from a fucking motel. And then he didn't tell me this till later. And he was like, yeah, at first that motel like kind of concerned me. But then I looked at it and it had great reviews.
Okay, so it might just have great reviews by comparison to the other two motels in our neighborhood where there's routinely police raids. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the hotel that you're talking about, I have walked by it when there's been what we'll call lobby scuffles.
Yeah.
Right? But I haven't been there when six police officers have knocked the door down.
And I have. That's happened before.
Okay. Because that puts that puts it above the other two spots in the neighborhood.
It's happened. Well, it's only happened. I've only seen it maybe twice that there's been like a full police raid, but it has happened.
So I might have told you this.
That's none of my business.
No, you know what? I think I told you my story the other day. I'm now a snitch because I can't deal with the way the people. I dealt with two criminals the other day and they pissed me off so much that I'm going into law enforcement.
Yeah.
I'm straight up. I'm becoming a Fed because of the way that these two fucking scumbags treated me. I'm mad.
Well, hang on. Let's do about like 10 more minutes and then we'll go to overtime. But like, I think maybe we can save that story for the Patreon, because that's very enticing. Everyone go to patreon.com/worstpossibletimeline. Mm. But I don't, before we get off this main feed, I don't have a satisfying answer as to why the showrunners of Rings of Power have never had any credits. We went off on a David O. Russell thing.
David O. Russell molesting his niece. Maybe they're the last guys in Hollywood that haven't molested their niece.
they needed someone with a clean record.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, hey, everybody, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny attached to this one. Who are the biggest squares that have no history of breast augmentation, knee molestation?
Here's the thing. I kind of have a theory. It's not totally fleshed out.
Okay.
But
let's hear it. Let's just call it speculation. This is all respectful.
So during this same week, my YouTube algorithm had the Gmail account that was connected to my YouTube was shut down. It was my former work email address.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I had to start from scratch. So when I go to YouTube and I see the uninfluenced algorithm, no algorithm.
NPC tube. Yeah.
NPC tube. You get, what do you get? You get Chill Study Beats.
Yep.
You get Jordan Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
You get the first thing recommended, Rings of Power, A $1 billion Nightmare. I think I have this half-baked paranoid theory that shows are like made woke, for lack of a better word, to like appease like the ideologically identity politic obsessed, but purposely also to enrage the other side they make this like YouTube content.
Yeah. This is called hate advertising. So for people that don't know, everybody always puts it on Ghostbusters. Like people say that was the first modern example of this phenomenon. It's actually not. It's Fury Road, which successfully did this exact thing on purpose. They have admitted it now that it was part of the marketing, was to make it a thing where you were like, what? Mad Max is a chick now? That's fucking gay. I don't know, man. You know what I mean? Like, and then you saw it and it was this mind blowing fucking movie. So people say Ghostbusters 2016. It was not, it was the Fury Road. But
Fury Road was good, though.
Fury Road was, I own it. It's a superior movie. Listen, it is the point I'm getting at is this is an established thing that they do. Now, is that what Rings of Power was doing? Yes. And here's why. I haven't watched a minute of it, but people that I trust who have say that it is actually not woke at all. It was like they skimmed the superficial woke parts and use them in the trailers exclusively. So it's like going to a comedy where all the funny parts were in the trailer, which is, by the way, the amazing part of Bros is that the Bros trailer has not one funny moment. That's insane, because for people that don't pay attention to these things, trailers have become just like movie ruining devices where all of the funny elements are packed into the trailer. And then you get no laughs when you're actually in the theater because you've seen it 500 times on your television. So, but the quote unquote woke parts are apparently not a factor in the program at all. They're just superficial nods that were just monopolized the marketing for the film.
So then what do we hate? What do people hate about the show?
Apparently it is boring and looks cheap.
That's crazy. How does it, was it a money laundering operation?
Okay. So that's what people speculate on, because they say that there's parts of it that parts of it that look as good as the films. And then 2 seconds later, you'll see something that looks like shit cosplay. So like people are like really mystified, because each episode, I think, costs like $70 million. so it's, people are very confused. But I mean, think about it. Look, it's not easy to create a whole cloth fucking convincing fantasy world. It does take money, particularly if you are going to have CGI battles, which have to occupy so much goddamn money, have to spend so much. And then even the fucking kind of like a skybox, we have to make it so the landscape looks away, except at all costs. So people say that they skimped on things like costumes.
I mean, maybe they
terrible yawn. Jesus.
Maybe they hired a bunch of useless producers.
Yeah, that could be. Maybe it is a money laundering operation.
Love it.
You should actually go down a hole on this. You should watch like the mini right wingers on this shit who are like having a ball with it, because apparently the show is not hitting for anyone, right? Like, there's people who claim to love She-Hulk. There's nobody who's claiming to love Rings of Power.
There's gotta be.
I don't think anybody loves it. I think people are like, oh, this episode was pretty good.
Well, the fact that they've the number one video recommended to NPCs is a $1 billion failure. It was like this is an inside job.
Well, it could also be tech warfare, because Alphabet, right? The company that owns Google does not own Amazon. You know what I mean? So,
that's okay. Okay. That makes a little more sense. I'm with
this. This could just be corporate sabotage shit.
So when is the YouTube $1 billion Star Trek show coming out?
Wait a second.
What happened?
I'm gonna forward you the text I just got. Right? Hold on. Here's the text I just, so this is my burner phone, right?
Yeah.
Hold on. So read it aloud, but you don't got to read the whole thing, obviously. Just like, give people the gist.
Okay, this text says, "Hi, Dylan. I'm checking to see if you need help voting, like requesting a ballot or finding your nearest Dropbox or vote center for the upcoming election. I'm also running for LA City Controller, the city's accountant, and I'm the only accountant running." Smiley face. I would kill this man.
Wait a second. Here's what's relevant. It came with a photo.
Oh, did it? I didn't get the photo.
I'm sending it to you now.
Is this our man?
That's our man. You're going to vote for him? You could vote for him. I can't vote for him.
I like his dogs.
Would you please describe him?
kind of tough to.
You can. It's tough to without getting in trouble. You could say it. He's a gay Asian guy.
Seems that way.
With two corgis.
Yeah, the corgis don't help. If he's hetero, the corgis don't help his case.
Yeah, they're not helping.
They're not helping. The skin tight spandex and what looks like he uses like a spandex shirt and sweatpants.
Yeah. That's the guy that's trying to get you to vote for him.
I mean, you know, what's his accountant? Can I see his resume? If he's the only one running, then I don't like how many he doesn't need many votes.
Got it.
So why does he think your name is Dylan?
You're not putting this up as video, right? Because look at me right now. Look at like what kind of weird, like I look like a Warped Tour metalcore rocker right now.
No, this is not going up as video, which is unfortunate because then they won't be able to see my background.
I don't like that at all.
I think it's strong.
Do you think being in a band is stupid?
Oh, extremely. It seems like, so you've financially been doing all right for yourself in the past year, maybe. I mean, on paper you haven't seen the money quite yet, but on paper, you're technically the dollar amount you're making is the most you've made in your life. Would you say?
Yeah, certainly. Because I have three income streams. So if you put those all together, I'm like an adult.
But it's like still a pretty mid level of income.
What's high?
I would say I don't want to get in trouble with the IRS.
So just what's high? Because there's a couple streams that are not the.
You're selling cocaine?
No, but what's a high income or not high income? What's a reasonably high income?
$200,000 a year.
Okay, it's not $200,000.
No,
so it's not $200,000. Yeah, it's mid.
It's well, but so my point is: do you know anyone who's worked in their life as hard as you to achieve
as little?
Yeah.
That's a very good question.
because being in a band seems like a fucking grind.
Being in a band is easy if you're like a dumb person.
But it's so just the amount of traveling. Like no one should have to be in Boise, Idaho more than once a year.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. If you could turn your brain off so that like you're like a robot that just like can stare in the corner when you're not activated. And you could just be in a van watching TikToks for 7 hours, then it's a really easy job.
We gotta get you off the TikTok.
If we have an active mind, it can be a challenge. Well, I had the same experience on TikTok that you just had on YouTube. So I went from it was sending me like a lot of fucking like girls doing normal things promoting their OnlyFans. So it'd be a girl being like, I just got this waffle maker. And then it'll be like, see more on my spicy YouTube. So for people that don't know, adults, TikTok requires you allegedly in the same way that YouTube does. But I don't know this to be true because I saw a video today that was just used the word rape like 35 times. So the allegedly, you're not allowed to use murder. Kill, rape. So there's all these workarounds that make people look like goddamn children. It's so embarrassing. Rape is SA, right? For sexual assault. murder or killed is unalived. I forget what suicide is. But there's a bunch of them that you can't say, right? But it's just so, imagine how dumb and childish you feel like absorbing any type of entertainment where people have to talk around the word murder and rape. The fuck are we talking about? It's like, that's like a fundamental, it's like a building block of fiction. You know what I mean? Like if you were to write a story that didn't contain murder or rape, I would wonder what the story was about. I'd say, okay, but what is there anything that's actually, is there anything moving here? Because those are the two things that move people in life. Right. So you can't say murder, rape, can't, whatever. So Square platform in a lot of ways, because it sells sex incessantly, but doesn't allow any other type of adult thinking at all. I was getting a lot of weird shit, bikey shit, cocaine shit, for a long time. And then I don't know if I didn't look at it for a week or whatever, but it just reset. So now I'm fully into normie TikTok. So it's like the stuff that like they recommend you on the front page, like you said, sort of shit, right? So it's like a guy reading a Reddit post about his, like, you know, like his mom having a dark past. Like normie, like hardcore normie stuff where it's like not provocative, not interesting. You know, like facts about like the largest man who ever lived, like dumb bullshit where you're like, you know, I didn't like the girl who bounces and who like makes her boobs bounce and talks in a baby voice because my girlfriend's just going to not like that I'm looking at this fucking content. So
I hate the baby voice.
Well, I was like trying to get rid of it. Cause I was like, oh, this is just gonna, she's not going to appreciate this. And I don't really need the Asian girl with too much eye makeup being like, are you a bad boy?
Hate that.
Are you a bad boy? Because bad boys don't get to come over to my place. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need that. So I'm like trying to get rid of it. But when I got rid of that, I got rid of anything interesting. I'm in pure NPC country now.
Do you know that the showrunners on Rings of Power are both practicing Mormons?
I did not.
It's weird, man. I'm saying they're CIA. I have a hard time like going to their IMDb page, and it's the only thing on their IMDb page. They're also apparently producing a Flash Gordon movie.
Fuck.
How tired is everything?
Oh,
Flash Gordon.
Listen, on overtime. Listen, overtime. We promise we'll talk about Velma for 2 hours.
Okay. Well, let's go to overtime right now. Are you prepared?
No, actually, we might have to do it tomorrow as I have to play a show. But the
it's only 8 o'clock. I thought you were headlining.
Yeah, but it's an early. Listen, this is a nice thing about playing our own headliner here. The shows that we've been doing have been finishing at like 11 or midnight. This shit's going to be over early.
What are you going to do? You going to get PJs on early? Or are you going to snuggle up?
You know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in bed. I'm going to think about playing Switch. And then I'm going to realize I have work to do. And I'm going to get sad and do it.
No, you should play Switch.
Yo, they put my jersey up in the rafters for Fortnite. They said, yo, you're like a real king.
We gotta take Fortnite and TikTok away from you because it's you're too much. One victory royale and you're up your own ass.
Yo, I when I get a crowned victory royale, you can't tell me shit. Ask my girlfriend. She if she was like, hey, could you take the garbage out? I'd be like, who are you talking to like that? I just got a fucking crowned victory royale. You know, there's a. I wear that crown. I'm the king of this shit. Fuck out of here with that.
I'm not buying that your show is ending at 9 p.m.
No, probably not 9 p.m. But like
the people of Boise are lit. They're too lit for that.
Listen, there are some proper mall freakers. The Midwest is just nonstop mall freakers. That's who is at shows. That's who. For people that don't know, if you live on the coast, if you attend a show anywhere in the interior of the country, it is people that you do not see at shows in any other part of the country. Hold on. I locked my band out. Hold on.
I love it because it's like it Boise, especially like those, the people that I met during Sound and Fury, they have like proper 1998 energy.
Listen, there'll be people that come to shows wearing like Joker makeup. It's like a different thing. It's very, you know what I mean? Like I'm not, it's very throwback in some ways, but it's throwback. Yeah. It's throwback to a time that like New York and Los Angeles, Atlanta and Chicago have skipped over entirely.
See, here's the thing. Like, I was talking about this with Evan when we were at the LA show, the drug church show. Is it like purely an, like, do you think COVID in some way, like the repression that people had from the lockdowns, that now that that shit's all done with, which fuck, we had some shit to talk about with COVID, but anyway, do you think that like repression has made people more cornier? Like the culture that has come out of the last year or so. Like, I think I saw people at that show dressing like I would be mortified to dress like that. But my question is
COVID ruined the country.
You think COVID ruined? Well, I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I mean, like, is that just an LA thing? Do LA people look like corns?
No. I mean, LA people are cornballs as fuck. But like, the interior of the country is like, I said, it's everybody. I think juggaloism is over, but juggaloism spirit lives on.
Everybody's
a juggalo now.
Juggalos got gentrified. I see a Brooklyn fucking hipster doofuses that are dressing like juggalos. It's embarrassing.
There's multiple instances of kind of like young, like, you know, ICP tattoos when you were not, like, it's ironic ICP tattoos.
Yeah. Yeah. I see a lot of that. The ICP got gentrified. I would be upset if I was a diehard juggalo.
Hey, to our juggalo listeners, write in, tell us how you feel about that.
Tell us how you feel. I'd be quite upset. COVID ruined the country. That's the position.
That's the thesis. Because everything just kind of got downgraded. So anything you enjoy is now less accessible, and the excuse of COVID is still on people's lips. Right. So like, you know what I mean? So it's like, hey, why does your hot bar close at 11 AM? I think it's a COVID thing. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. There's a 2-hour changeover on our hot bar. COVID. What? Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, with my current job, they have like, it's remarkable how much they pretend that it is still April of 2020, the effort of the fact that we don't have to go back to work. They'll like send out emails where they're like, someone came in with COVID. From this point forward, no one will be going into the office unless absolutely necessary. All the doors will be locked. If you need to access a room, you must tell the front desk. It's like, stop. Everybody stop. We're still doing this? What's wrong with you?
Do they not want to pay the electric bill? I don't understand that. Just get rid of the property.
Yeah, just precisely. Well, I mean, I guess they have to keep it for certain reasons, but like, why are we pretending like it's a big deal to get COVID? It's not a big deal.
What if there's just owls, like all these abandoned, disused offices. It was just owl ceremonies. You know what I mean? Like, what if it was just
that's not impossible.
Just owl. Why is owl so difficult to say? Owl totems. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. People dancing nude around an owl.
Moloch.
Am I saying owl correctly?
Owl. I think you're having a stroke.
I feel like I am. Listen, we're gonna have to do this again tomorrow because I gotta go play music.
All right.
So people tune in tomorrow. What was the? There was a teaser. What'd you say? I was just gonna give them a story.
Yeah, something about someone who maybe killed themselves. I don't remember what it was.
Okay. Well, we'll get there.
All right, everybody. You know what it is. Patreon.com/worstpossibletimeline. Give us money, please. We really need it.
But don't say that to people because then they feel like, okay, so Eric's going to be clear now.
Don't give us money. We don't need it.
No, but so doing poverty marketing is terrible. So everybody, we actually do really well in terms of raw numbers on Patreon. Our numbers are actually higher than people who are much more popular than us.
Yeah. However, well, we have a steady stream of content.
However, we put the number really low. So Eric woke up one day and said, holy shit, if we charge the same as every other podcast and we held on to these people, we'd be fabulously wealthy.
I don't know about that.
We would really be killing it. And so now Eric is crying poor mouth all the time because he wants to get to that point where, you know what? Actually, let's set this goal. Our new Patreon slogan is Patrick and Eric buy a rental property.
Yo, I like it. What if we go in? It's not as exciting as Cuban links.
What if we go in? Nobody liked my Cuban links. I love my Cuban links. And everybody else was like, yeah, your neck's a little thin for them. I don't know.
I mean, they were tiny. It was BNA.
They were not tiny. Yo, they were not tiny. My Cuban links looked good. But I would think that I would need a second Cuban link to look like a proper sort of gangster sort of dude. Anyway, and now the Cuban links are on this other level where they're like, they're thick going the other way. They got real depth to them. So they look weird. But anyway, they look like boxes now. Patrick and Eric buy a rental property.
Okay.
And about, what you and I, yeah. you and I do is we get that Patreon up to the point that it could cover a mortgage in one of the worst parts of the United States.
Boise?
No, try like, where the fuck did we look up property values the other day and found one for like $30,000? Where was that? Do you recall?
Muleshoe, Texas.
And some shit like that. There was a $30,000. Who showed me this the other day? It just said a real piece of shit. Did you not show me this?
what the listing said, a real piece of shit.
Yeah, oh, Shapiro, Dave showed us this shit where it was it was an actual Zillow listing that said a real pile of shit, and it was just a, you know, like one of those probably not, there's no code in this area because it's farmland, so you kind of erect a domicile of some type, but it's plywood. Did you see the movie Wind River?
No.
Okay, you should watch it tonight. I think you'd enjoy it, honestly. But
I'm going to go see Smile.
Oh, my bandmate said mid.
Oh, I'm sure it looks low. It looks lower than mid.
They said Barbarian was high.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked it.
They say it's great to have Justin Long back. Is that true?
I mean, sure is. I'll co-sign that.
All right, listen. We will do another segment tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll review Black Adam.
I can review the Black Adam TikToks, which I am drowning in.
Oh God. Yeah, Patreon.com/worst possible timeline. Help Pat and Eric buy a rental property. If you donate six figures, you can be our tenant.
Have people send us Zillow listings.
Okay, maybe that would be great. People miss rub maps. We need something. I know you're off the rub maps. We need something that's like,
I'm trying to be high value. We can maybe we can revisit it at some point. But I'm trying to convince the world that I although I did devote an awful lot of time to David O. Russell.
Yeah, you did.
I can't say it.
Patreon.com/worst possible timeline. Go there, give us money. At WP, you know, timeline on Twitter. What?
The David O. Russell thing is why context matters. Like, that's the best example I've ever seen of why context matters.
Of course. People don't want to know. Everyone on the planet Earth understands that context matters, except they will kill you when they feel
when it suits them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At WP timeline on Twitter. That's where that is. Oh, we're gonna have shirts again soon. Hunt is printing us more shirts very soon, probably after this episode comes out, but before the next one.
Okay,
we'll announce shirts happening. Very good shirts. The best.
Did we see the twerk in March?
Twerking Marge is coming very soon. What else to do? Oh, 205-509-9785. Call us and leave a message. And worst possible timeline. @gmail.com for all your David O. Russell inquiries.
Expose them.
We'll catch you next time.
Later.
Later. Wait. I wonder how I stop recording but don't end the meeting. I'm going to see what happens here. End meeting for all.